minority-based conversations in the military can be difficult. They can make you seem out of sync with those who you're supposed to connect with. Insert Cadence Combos. On the 1st and the 15th of every month, I will bring you a different minority military experience. These experiences are told from an individual perspective designed to help you connect through conversation. So let's get in line, let's educate, let's relate, and get in sync. Come join the conversation. Legal disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed or implied on any of these episodes are solely those of the individual, and they do not represent the military in any shape or form. Thanks.
Hey, Chief Healy.
Okay, hi.
I was over admiring your share a cola that you do on your page with the coffee talk from Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force Bass.
Oh yeah, that was a fantastic experience. She was down to earth, and we had an opportunity to share some time with some of our ladies, especially since it was or it is still Women's History Month.
Right.
I didn't want to do that one by myself. I'm like, I have to bring more ladies, and plus it's the Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, so
I mean, really. Really.
Yeah.
Which I am definitely a fan of hers.
Me too.
For sure. So I'm just get right to it, Chief. Cadence Convos, we just tried to get the minority viewpoint of some experiences in the military for those of us who are in the military and have a minority affiliation. Okay, so what is your minority affiliation, Chief?
So my minority affiliation is I'm African-American. I'm black girl, Matt.
Magic. Awesome. So can you just give a summary of your background, like how you grew up, where you grew up?
I grew up in, I was born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina. Kathy Lane Reardon Mitchum is the mother of Anthony, Andre, and myself. And my dad, you know, they had separated earlier on in my childhood, but I was blessed enough to continue a relationship with my father. So, and some people don't have that story, but I'm definitely grateful. I come from a home where my mother, she would work all the way from like 5 a.m. until midnight sometimes. That's the kind of woman that I had an opportunity to see as a child.
Wow. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a significant work ethic too.
yes, ma'am.
All day. Wow. So what brought you into the military? Do you have military family members, or what was the draw for you?
So I do have a lot of members in the military or family members who served. However, that's not what brought me in the military. I joined the Air Force in 1996. And it was because my brother, Anthony Reardon, it's hard to even say his name sometimes, but my brother, who I was really, really close with, came home on leave. He was serving in the United Navy and was shot and killed. And so I just remember at his funeral, he had on his uniform. The obituary said E2. I didn't know what that was, but I did know that there was something that was higher than E2. And whatever it was, I was going to finish that journey. And I told him that.
Wow.
So, you know, when people asked me if I knew that I was going to be in, if people asked me if I thought that I would be an E9 one day, I absolutely did. Now, did I know I was going to become a Chief Master Sergeant? I had no clue what that was until I had a chance to meet one. And so, And the only reason why I became an E9 was because I made a promise, and I had to make sure I fulfilled that to my brother.
And you absolutely did. Oh my gosh, that's a a significant way to honor your brother. Like, that is amazing.
Thank you so much.
Wow. Wow, I can share with that. My sister was in the Navy too. I got two sisters. They both went to the Navy after high school. One of them still serves right now in the reserve. So definitely a fan of the Air Force Navy connection.
Absolutely. I love the Navy. I had a chance to spend time at the Chief Petty Officer Coast Guard Academy as a Master Sergeant. And you want to talk about a life-changing experience? Like, who knew? I wear my anchors up under my collar. My,
Oh, wow.
yeah, they blessed me with some anchors, and I sure enough, I wear those proudly.
My God. That's amazing. Wow. So, can you talk a little bit about how it was for you in the 90s and early 2000s going through your initial training in the Air Force and what kind of experiences that was like?
Oh man, that was a long time ago. That was not today. I remember basic training was kind of easy for me because I was super physically fit. Of course, from a track runner and a basketball player, so I was fit and ready. So that didn't really mean that it wasn't hard for me at all. Yeah. So, and I grew up in a strict household. So, what some of our TIs were giving out, I was ready. My mama and my aunties, they made sure that I was fully ready for the world. And so that didn't bother me. Tech school was fine as well. So I didn't really have anything interesting to report as far as training goes.
Right, it was just normal status quo. I think this is when you grow up in a strong household too. I don't know if it's women or not, but a strong household will make you ready for anything,
It does make you ready.
whatever comes.
I agree, because what you learn and what I learned with my mom is, discipline, and I wasn't to do all of it back and all of that stuff. And I understood what it meant, and I grew up in church as well, so I understood what it meant to know where you where what your role was. Right, you got the ushers there. They're supposed to be there.
Yes, ma'am. Oh my gosh.
When the choir, who's supposed to be singing, but they want to be the choir director. And I grew up around that, and even as a young child, I always knew that it was important for you to know what your role is or was at the time. And so I had no problems understanding that. And that works well for me now, even to this day, because I have the honor and the privilege of serving alongside my wingman, Colonel Yoru. And he's an incredible man who, like, I feel like it's my job to make sure I do everything that I can to make sure that he is extremely successful. And no matter how much hype comes out around or comes up around being the command chief, like, I understand my role. My role is not the commander. And that's where some people get it mixed up. Like, I don't care what all you got going on in your world. Your job is to advise the commander, and that's what I do. So, and I'm happy.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's a lot to be said about knowing your place too. I think for me, it's been coming up recently in my work center where I'm like, hey, that's people need to get in their lane. Having everybody cross over into someone else's work lane, and it makes everything confusing. And it frustrates me because I'm like, this ain't your this I got my part. I know what I'm supposed to be. Won't you get, where you're supposed to be and do your thing?
That's a
Because it works so much better when we do.
that's a fact, because your support, right?
Yes,
Well,
ma'am.
rules out support a lot better than support, so much better, right? Yeah, right.
Just this week, I had people telling the NPF how to do their stuff and who else they were gonna have to help them. I'm like, hold on, who are you? Because I'm the commander, and
I remember
not sure where you talk about this.
I remember those days, I'm telling you. And so that's why I work extra hard, because, like, right now, I come from the support world, actually, Mission Support Group down to the MPF, Yep, and MPF, I'm a personalis. And so it's funny that I wouldn't say funny, I say I'm blessed to have had an opportunity to be hired as the command chief for an airlift wing, because I'm not an operator. I do come from the support world. So I try to make sure that our teammates on my side are having an understanding of we like somebody complain, like, why are they shut down? Why are they shut down? Saying it's training, and throw up the quote unquote sign. And it's like, but yet you want to complain when you get bad information. They shut down to train in order to give you good information. And nope, I get it. I get it. So I try to make sure I do not allow the things that I do know as a personnelist to bleed over into the well or the support group. Sorry, says, nah, that's not my job anymore. I got a chance to grow and develop. Let other people have their chance to grow and develop.
Yeah, and I know we are super proud of being able to see you as coming from our career field as the command chief. Like I was talking to a friend of mine who recently she oh actually she recently made chief, and so she's the one who showed me your video when you were doing the leadership. Oh, I love that. And so she sent that to me, and I was like, she's one of us. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna call her, see if I can get her on the show. Because we don't get to see that a lot. And when we do, it's like, wow, like look at us over there, like at the top doing our thing. We're so proud of it and glad that you represent, and so fortunate. So I want to talk a little bit about if there ever has been a time in your career where your minority affiliation has had an influence on your experience in the Air Force.
I don't know if it necessarily had to do with my no minority affiliation. I think more so. Sometimes people gravitate towards people of likeness, and I just so happen to be in a situation where I happen to be the African American, and a group of folks who were not like me decided to try and find a way to bring me down. But that was a struggle. That was a serious struggle. And so for me, like, if I didn't know why I was in, that would have been my breaking point, and I would have left the Air Force. Yeah, it was that bad. It was literally that bad. I always tell people, number one, when people aren't perfect, extend grace to them. But I also tell them, number two, sometimes when people have come in the Air Force, unless they have made a conscious decision to grow, they're going to remain who they were before they joined the Air Force. We have some people who joined the Air Force as regular old, and they don't even realize they're jerks because they grew up around jerks, right? And so take that. I mean, that's the same thing with our extremism. That's the same thing with races. And I'm not even calling out a specific race. I'm saying, period. Like, sometimes people's upbringing kind of bleeds over into the military. And so when people do not make an effort to grow, they remain the same. And sometimes people of likeness gravitate to them. And so that was a tough time for me. But I had to remember my why, and I also had to grow as a person. But you know what? I do not regret that moment in any kind of way. I always tell, like, my daughter, I needed that moment. I needed that time period, because all of that prepared me for where I am now.
Wow.
Yes,
You're
ma'am.
right. Yeah, you're right. So what do you say to people who go through situations that because like you said, there are people in the military who they're just jerks, and that's what they became and that's what they are. But when you encounter those people, what kind of you have for those who will encounter those type of people if they want to continue into a successful military career?
I'll tell them a couple things. First of all, I think it's important for, as an individual, yourself. So I know my triggers, right? I know the things that will push me in a direction that I see. I know the areas that I need to work on as an individual, as a woman, as a leader. I know those things. So if I know that somebody has some ways that's gonna, that's going to make me, and I say make me because not I make myself because I'm in control of that, right? So
Right.
if I know I need not surround myself with that. You can't. You have to be careful of the people that you are allowing in your circle. You have to be careful of the people who you are allowing to pour into you. So when people come to you and they don't mean you any good, it just depends on what your personality is. Like my personality now can handle somebody with that, but in an eloquent way, so that I'm they don't quite know what happened. Yeah, that took work. And also you learn how to accept people for who they are, because a lot of you're having an expectation for people to be who we want them to be as opposed to who they are. And I'm not saying that it is okay for someone to be unfair, be ugly to you or any of that stuff, but a lot of times we get offended because people disagree with us. And great leader, we won't mind if people disagree with us. Now you have those people who just find reason just to be nagging. I get that, right? But there are some people who you need those people at your table. You need those people in your circle who are going to give you a different perspective. So I think that's what it is. Just don't let people get up under your skin. And that's easier said than done. And that takes practice. But there's nothing wrong with walking away before providing a response, especially if it's in a hostile environment or if it's in a space of negative energy. Walk away.
Yeah, right. I like what you said too about keeping a contrary opinion in your circle, because I think that helps you to not have everybody around you agree with you all the
Oh,
time.
that's a fact. That's that. That, right? I don't. I,
That is fair.
and listen. I'll tell you what. Another thing: be careful of the things that people are telling you. You got some people out there who may not like somebody else, and they'll just be determined to get the rest of the folks not to like you too, just because they don't. And sometimes when we allow that type of stuff in our ear, like that can be very counterproductive, extremely counterproductive. And you could be missing out on a really good friend. You could be missing out on a really good leader. You could be missing out on a good mentor. I remember somebody, one of my biggest mentors is Chief Trey King, and I ran into another old school lady, and this was a long, long, long time ago. But anyway, I was like, "Yeah, something about Trey King," and she had oh, I don't like her. And then
Ooh.
and I'm like, "Well, why?" Well, I don't know, just 'cause something about her. You know what I'm saying? Like, and if I would have allowed that to go in my head and into my heart and into my spirit, like I would have totally have missed out on somebody who's been pouring in my life into my life for years, not only telling me the things that I want to hear, but the things that I needed to hear, the things that has, that have truly gotten me to where I am today. So I don't play those games.
No, you can't. And I think I've met Chief Master Sergeant Trey King. Is she a, she's an author?
Yes, she is. A poet.
Yes, I met her, and she gave me she gave me a copy of her book, and she signed it. We were in school, and I went to class, some kind of class. Man, it seemed like a long time ago. And I met her, and she is a phenomenal person. So oh my gosh, she probably wouldn't remember me, but I remember her. She, when I was getting about to get on the plane, she was like, I was a captain. She's like, "Captain, come here, I got something for you." And she gave me her book, and she had wrote me a personal note in it. And wow,
That is
yeah.
her. Just, I mean, start talking about leaving a legacy behind. She did that. You ask her what she wants her legacy to be, and it's always going to be about the lives that she touched along the way. And that is what a servant leader is, And so sometimes when somebody's out there trying to do great things, and you got those people who are big performers, not even bench warmers, the people who are sitting in the crowd.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like you didn't even make it to the bench. You're sitting in the crowd. And then you think that I'm trying to play on this court. Do you really think that I'm about to sit and listen to the judgment of somebody from the crowd who couldn't even make the team? No.
Wow. Wow.
I'm telling you.
I think if more people did thought like that in work centers, then we would have so much more productivity and so much more unity behind the leaders of those organizations too.
That is right.
If they would just say, you know what, I'm not gonna listen to you, I'm gonna make my own opinion and I'm gonna keep pressing.
That's right. You have a lot of people. They don't even really take the time to know their leadership because, and I'm not even talking all the way at the wing, but I've seen it. They don't even take the time to really know their leadership. If their leadership is trying to be about business and trying to get things done, I mean, and taking care of people as well, but trying to handle the business, sometimes people don't take too well with that, especially if they're set in their old ways.
Yep, I agree with
Or
that.
if you had a Mrs. Claus or Santa Claus that came before you, and then you come in there try to get things together, the way that, based on the regulation, then it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
It's going to be a problem. So I say, get on board or get off.
Yeah, exactly. I wish we could make that happen like easier than we do in the Air Force too, though. Like, hey, if you aren't with this, let's find somewhere for you to be where you can be with whatever's going on. Because here we got work to do, and I need the whole team to be on the same page.
Yeah. So the counterpart to that is, while you may be about business and trying to make sure that things are lining up and, according to the regulations and all of that good stuff to make sure that your unit or your organization is productive, you also have to make sure that you're staying in touch with that human side as you lead. Because there's nothing greater than a leader that people want to follow, right? So gain that credibility, like let people know that you actually care about them as a person too. That cannot be said enough. It can't be. You're not always going to make everybody happy. So you're not always going to make everybody happy, and that definitely should not be the goal to make everybody happy. But they definitely should feel, connected, protected, respected. But
Ooh, I
yeah,
like
now
that.
I can't take credit for it, but.
I like it. That's gonna be on my post somewhere. I like that. So, Chief, is there a I know you're all on social media, at least on Facebook, because I'm following you, but is there somewhere where you want folks to follow you if they want to know more about what you're doing and the legacy that you're building on social media?
Yeah, no problem. So, Facebook, I'm mostly active on Facebook. I'm trying to cross over to Instagram, trying to get to date with young folk, right? Since you let me know, back in the 90s when you were starting, like a long time ago. More active on my Instagram, but for sure, the 437th Airlift Wing Command Chief page. I try to put out messages with the Sharicola. Not only, so my whole point initially was to highlight different people's AFSCs and highlight the individual. And then I slowly started integrating some messages out there. I did one on domestic violence. And this young lady, anytime I can get someone to tell their story and not hold it, they are bringing help to someone else who needs it. And so the longer people are quiet about whatever happened to them, they don't realize that there's somebody else who's stuck and they don't know how to get out of it. So I try to provide an avenue for that as well. So this thing is about, like, when you talk about legacy, I don't know what my legacy will be. But I do know that I just want to touch lives, as many lives as I can while I have this platform, because that's what I'm here to do. That's what.
Yeah, I agree. I think you definitely are. Like I said, you just seeing, we didn't even know anything about you, but we knew that there was a command chief who was a personnelist, and we were like, we had our little dance party and everything because we were like, wow, oh my gosh, so it's possible. And then when I talked to my seniors and I talked to my airmen, I could say, hey, look, there's one of us right there. So it is possible. And we have an advocate that's, high up and who understands things and who has been able to transcend, just a typical path to the top. This you're over, like you said, the airlift wing. And so I think being able just to see you in that position has been motivating for the people that I talk to, and the conversations about you that you never get to hear. It's just like they're encouraging. And then we're excited when we see you do something. And when, man, my hat's off to you, Chief. And I'm thankful for how you're using your platforms.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I'm very thankful to represent our personalists. And I want to make y'all proud. I sure do. I sure do. Y'all so much. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Yep.
Chief.
Hey, that does it for today's episode. I want to say thank you so much for staying to the end, for listening to the conversation. You can follow me on Cadence at Cadence Convo on Twitter, and you can send me an email at shebegreat@gmail.com, and I'll try my best to respond. And of course, I'm on the global, Tamika Payne.